What is up, Real Madrid podcast listeners? So basically, if you haven't heard, Zinedine Zidane is back, and he's now the manager of Real Madrid again. To show you how surprising, or to kind of give you an idea of how insane and surprising how quickly this happened, Hassan and I were about to drop yesterday's podcast, which was about yesterday's match against Valladolid, literally like half an hour after the actual announcement was made. So just goes to show you how much of a surprise that was. That podcast is irrelevant now. So, I mean,
it's now buried deep in a vault somewhere.
Yeah, it's kind of useless. But in today's episode, not only has Zidane returned, but we have someone very, very cool back at the podcast. So I'll let him introduce himself.
Yo, it's Christopher back again. OG squad is back.
Yes.
Twitter handle is at K_MC06. Follow me if you're looking for some Vasquez propaganda. I say it's been sorely missed on this podcast.
It definitely has.
We've given him some rub-ups here and there.
We've tried.
It's good stuff. Good stuff.
Not to your level, of course.
No, well, if I pat myself on the back for anything, it's my Vasquez propaganda.
I mean, your head is pretty spectacular on Twitter.
Yeah.
Don't need changing now because it's still got Solari's head in it.
Oh, yeah, I'll have to do
that. It's got to go.
Yeah, I have to make sure our header is okay. Is our header okay?
I think it is. It's like the Champions League winner. It's the Bernabeu.
Ours is the Bernabeu, so we're good.
So there you go. Leave it at that.
Yeah, so we're awesome. Anyways, let's just talk about this weird freaking move. Chris, what do you think about it?
Well, I don't know. I've taken it still kind of sinking in. I think the first thing I'd like to say is that there wasn't really a lot of options. I think we all would have liked Pochettino, but I think he's padlocked. Until he decides to leave, he's not leaving, simply just because Levy's hard to negotiate with and his contract doesn't have a buyout clause. So it kind of left us with Zidane, Mourinho, or staying with Solari. Staying with Solari wasn't happening. I thought up until the last 2 days, I was convinced Mourinho was coming, whether we liked it or not. But obviously, Perez has seen some sense and decided to appoint the best available option to us.
Well, a lot of people like you wanted Pochettino. I think Hassan, you and I decided that, well, whenever we discussed it, we never really thought about the idea of Zidane actually coming back because it's
not realistically, so far-fetched. Anyway.
Yeah. I mean, we talked about it yesterday. I guess you can just go over it again because we're not really going to put that pot out there.
Well, my initial thing was exactly the same as Chris. Jose Mourinho is a foregone conclusion. Get the special on T-shirts and the merchandise ready because that's exactly what's going to happen. But Pepe Perez is going to pull the mad one out of the hat. And here we are. Zidane's back. For the first time in one season, Real Madrid's got these three separate managers since 2004-05. I find that a bit shocking, though. The fact that that's not even 20 years ago. The fact that we went through three managers in one season. Like most clubs, you'll hear that stat, and it's like 1962 or whatever. Whereas for us, it was like literally not even 20 years ago. So it says a lot about the instability there. But hey-ho, here we are. The man's back.
Yeah.
And I'm very excited the fact that he's back.
I was just thinking, when I was listening to the press conference, Perez opening but introducing Zidane, where we start a new era at the club today, and was thinking, how many times in the last 20 years have you said that? You know, the man burns through managers like no one's business. But Madrid burns through managers like no one's business, really.
Literally for shits and giggles.
Yeah.
He's not doing well, sack him.
I hope Zidane gets a fair run at the club. I think he's a very special case in terms of like the managers we've had in our history, in the sense that he's so ingrained at the club across all levels, at like a board level, at a player level. If anyone was going to get a proper run at the job, as in, you know, given a season to figure things out and then look for trophies maybe the season after, it'd be Zidane. Well, he hasn't needed that, has he, in his past, you know?
No, he just came trophies. In straight away when he took over.
No, just started winning. So, fingers crossed he does that again.
Well, do you guys think that's part of the reason why he's been given the position now in March as opposed to waiting till the end of the season? Because the way I looked at it was, it makes more sense to, irrespective, I think it was almost common knowledge that Santi Solari was going to be sacked at the end of the season. I think we can all agree on that.
Yeah, that was pretty much going to happen. I think even had we not exited all three competitions, well, okay, so say we hadn't won the Champions League, got to the final of the cup and like finished top three in the league, I still think he would have been dropped regardless, unless we somehow won the Champions League or the cup and put in respectable performances elsewhere, which again I said yesterday, which he won't hear. So that's why I'm repeating it. But yeah, I think had he won something and put in respectable showings elsewhere, I think that's the only way he would have stayed on. Even then, I still think they would have probably shopped around elsewhere. But yeah, I think it was common knowledge that he was getting let go pretty much. It was likelihood.
Well, even though it's a little bit wild that we've sacked two managers and had a third in one season, I think it's good because then this actually allows Zidane to work with all the players of the squad. And as opposed to coming in at the end of the season and then being like, oh, well, you know, I watched a couple games. I'm sure he's watched every Real Madrid this season. But even if he hasn't, at least like he has a better indication having worked with the players for the last few weeks of the season in training and in matches. So,
yeah, it'll allow him to measure up like what he wants to do about, you know, season's end in terms of who's staying and who's coming in and what areas he's focusing on.
Yeah,
but the strange thing is, I actually feel like the squad that he's obviously got now is like, obviously it's the same roster that he still had then, bar, you know, obviously the likes of Ronaldo departing. But I still feel like it's a completely different scenario now to what it was when he left it.
I think that's probably why he's tired now.
Yeah, he needs. It'd be interesting to see how he deals with literally overhauling the squad, which is what's needed by this point.
Well, reports have suggested that he's going to have, like, a load of autonomy and a huge...
400 million is what I heard. Obviously, that's probably just paper talk, but yeah, 400 million is what I heard.
And that's a pretty good sum, so...
Yeah, and I don't know if you guys watched the press conference, but they didn't say much about what's happening in the summer, but the overtone was that... Yeah, but the overtone of the conference, you know, from... Perez opened it with, you know, we'll always be thankful for this generation of Real Madrid, for these players, for what they brought us, which I thought was very strange. For, you know, it wasn't kind of the continuity tone that we've gotten in the last three seasons or so. Yeah, it did feel kind of more of a farewell than a hello at times. But I've said it, we've gone into... I think we went into last season with the intention of making changes, and the summer just didn't pan out. So,
I am winning kinda, three Champions Leagues on the back.
I'm gonna keep saying it, but I just think it's not up to just us to sign players. It's also who's available.
Realistically, for sure, yeah. I mean, obviously, everyone would like to see Mbappe join Real Madrid, but realistically, how high are the chances that he's likely to
for PSG? Like you just said there, if the paper, you know, papers are saying 400 million, you could easily blow 400 million on just Mbappe.
Yeah, quite literally.
You'd actually probably have to spend more, all things considered, you know?
As soon as the conference was over, I was seeing things like Zidane's first idea to bring in a player is, what was his name, N'Golo Kante from Chelsea. I don't think that's completely far-fetched. No. It's perfectly feasible. But
doesn't make sense.
It's only been 2 minutes since the press conference finished, and there's already gossip on who he's bringing in. In terms of whether it makes sense or not, I agree and disagree. It depends if we actually like let anybody go. By that point, I wouldn't say no to Kante. The guy's probably the best defensive mid in the world. I don't think many people would turn him down. But again, we've got two very good defensive mids in Llorente and Casemiro, so.
Well, we were actually thinking of going through the roster and doing kind of like a yes, no, will they stay, will they go? But who do you think, let's just make it easier, who do you think will be pushed out or will leave?
Gareth Bale.
Top of the list is definitely Gareth Bale. Well, I think you're going to have to censor this out much, Zach. He literally.
Oh my God, you always give me more
Hey, at least I told you. Man. At least I told you. I warned you before I said it. Can I say it again?
No, don't swear again.
Someone timestamp that.
He always does. He'll just like swear, and he knows full well it's so much work to go.
I know it.
You gotta earn your keep around here, boy.
Earn my keep. Okay, totally. Sure.
Yeah, 100% agree with Hassan. I think Bale's the first one out. I don't know. I have more respect for Gareth Bale than perhaps some other people do. I don't like the kind of shade he's been thrown on Twitter. But I've kind of grown tired with his inconsistency. So I would prefer, it would depend on how much we get for him, but I would prefer that we didn't have an inconsistent player like him expecting to start next season.
Yeah, I think I wrote it in an article, so I put that, obviously his agent, when he came out, says, oh, the fans should kiss his feet, whatever. The problem was at the end of, obviously, the end of the final last year, when Bale dropped his little pipe bomb, like, you know, the alpha that he tries to be, where he was like, you know, I have to be playing consistently, if not, I'll have to go elsewhere, etc. You know, essentially throwing the ultimatum out there. So he got his, like, he got his wish. He was made the man. And he's not lived up to the expectations of being the man. And I never understood how people thought he was going to take over from Ronaldo anyway, because even at his best, he's never exactly a 50-goal-a-season player.
Yeah, but I think when we kind of talked about life after Ronaldo in July last year, it was more of a, you know, if Bale can score the 20 goals that we know he can, and Benzema can do what he did this season, which was score 20-odd goals.
Yeah, sure.
And then you had, like, Asensio scoring 10 or so many, you know?
But two of the three of that hasn't happened. That's the problem.
Yeah, and that's been the issue, and more pressure has been put on Benzema. But just on Bale, again, the main difference I've noticed this season from past is that I think my memory might be failing me, but I don't recall injury being a massive issue this season in comparison to
us. It hasn't really. I don't think injury has been a really big issue this season at all. I just feel like
he's genuine, yeah.
He's just not confident anymore. It just seems like he doesn't have any confidence. There'll be times where it's like he's got the ball, he's one-on-one with like a fullback or whatever. And it's like, a Bale of old, you'd just expect to knock that on the outside of his left foot and just absolutely run.
Yeah,
and you know, blitz down the pitch. It doesn't even seem like he's capable of doing that anymore.
I wouldn't be surprised if the change of scenery does him good.
Yeah, it might do. It might.
I wish him the best. I'm going
to
be honest.
Of course, he's contributed marvelous things to the club. Yeah. You know, he's single-handedly at times been responsible for some of the trophies we've lifted. But again, like, you can't stay at a club on past merit at the end of the day, especially a club the size of Real Madrid. It doesn't work like that. You have to consistently produce. So if Ronaldo in last season didn't score, you know, as many goals as he did and add what he did, would you have kept him there at the age of plus, you know, 30 plus?
Yeah. I mean, God, it wasn't. This conversation was happening in, what was it? This conversation was happening when at the start of 20.
Yeah, yeah. When he
2017, when he scored. Yeah, and he scored 4 league goals until December, and we were all talking about, do we cash in on him next summer? It's a rootless club. It really is. But
with Bale, I just don't feel he's got that like sudden explosion in him. But he may just go, you know, back to wherever in the Premier League or wherever he does go next and absolutely smash it, because he might want to prove a point A, and B, he's just got less pressure on him in that regard.
Who's next? Who's next out? For sure.
I still feel Marcelo's going to go. Don't know why. Just got a gut feeling.
Well, Zidane was asked about Isco and Marcelo, and he said something to the idea of, of course, stuff has happened, but, you know, I've worked with these players before. We're going to work on it again together.
Yeah. He basically said he doesn't talk about what happens between people, you know? So he basically said, I don't buy into other people's business or gossip or anything like that. I think Zidane's Zidane's going into that dressing room very much
open.
Whatever animosity or kind of bad feeling that's in that dressing room now, he's wanting to go in and say, next 11 games are a clean slate.
Do what you got to do.
Do what you got to do, and we'll see what happens in the summer. I have question marks over Isco. I don't know.
Yeah, you're not the only one.
How me too. Feel about this? I think Modric has always been. Modric's got question marks over him still. He's at an age. He's 30. What is he?
33. Yeah, he's 33. Yeah.
He's had one of those seasons where he has looked mortal.
He's had games where he's amazing, then games where he's utter trash, to put it lightly.
And I think a conversation needs to be had with Modric about his playing time. The bright side to that is that I think Modric's the type of guy who would happily take a back seat and help the club with younger players.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, we've got the talent that can easily fill in his position. You've got Fede Valverde, you've got Dani Ceballos, who's perfectly capable. Kovacic, if he comes back, don't think he will. That's another debate, though. But there's talent there to fill that gap.
Chip for him to want to come back anyway.
I'd like to see both Marcelo and Modric stay, and Isco. I'd like to see as much as this dressing room stay as possible, as long as they're willing to agree to cut down on their playing time.
I agree with that. If they're willing to take a bench role, then sure. But if not, then I think
Benzema's another.
Sorry, but not sorry. Time to go. We got to move on as a club.
Benzema, less because of age, but more because his position's definitely going to be a place where Madrid are going to look to buy. It'd be interesting how he reacts to that.
Would you be okay if he said too he'd like to take a backseat?
Yeah, keep him there because he's a level head. He's got experience. Yeah, he's very good with youngsters and taking them under his wing. Just look at Vinicius this season.
I don't know if he'd take it. I don't know. It'd be interesting. He's, on one hand, Benzema's put up with so much crap in his 10 years at Madrid, but on the other, his it's been a long time since his place has been
under threat. Yeah.
I mean, even with Morata, when Morata was there, he never felt like Morata was going to start a big game. It was always going to be Benzema.
Yeah, I agree with that. I don't think he's really had that fear in the back of his mind that, he's going to come for my position. I think the last time he may have been close to feeling that was when Higuain was at the club.
That was actually, I think, and yeah, Mourinho called him a cat.
What a great insult. Okay.
Sky Sports just reported that former Real Madrid president Ramon Calderon believes that, dressing room leaders blocked Mourinho's return to Real Madrid. Do you think there's any truth behind that?
I wouldn't trust Roman Calderon to lead me through my own front door. No, I don't trust Roman Calderon.
What if I didn't tell you he was the one that said that? Do you think there is a bit of truth to that? Because I personally think that there is.
Yeah.
This huge, brouhaha that happened in the locker room, and I'm almost certain that the reason why things played out the way they did was because of Sergio Ramos and company.
Well, you mean, you look how much Jose Mourinho has alienated the fans since he left. There's still sects of people.
He didn't alienate when he left.
Yeah, I mean, if he's caused so much division in the fan base, God knows what he's done to that. What he did to the dressing room, and there's a lot of fellas there who were there when Mourinho. When that was there, I'm pretty certain when that meltdown happened.
The main four of the squad is still there. So Marcelo, Ramos,
Modric was there.
Modric was there. I think that's it. Benzema obviously was there.
But I wouldn't be surprised.
Varane was kind of there.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if that was the case. It's just since Roman Calderon said it, I'm instantly skeptical.
President Florentino Perez was asked in that press conference, Neymar Jr. or Kylian Mbappe. He said with a smug look on his face.
It's just so Perez.
It's about saying Twitter thinks he's gone senile.
I love that guy. Love him.
That
response, I love him. I mean, yeah, okay, I do insult him from time to time because he does draw me bonkers here and
there. Okay, that was an understatement.
I mean, the last time I insulted him was last week, maybe. Maybe last week.
I don't. I think Perez is very tongue in cheek with that comment, though. I don't think
he's just doing a coup.
It'd be some coup if he manages to bring both Neymar and Mbappe in on one season.
Actually, on the he'd on the lines,
I'd be very impressed if he bought one.
I've just read here the Independent. Zidane has promised $300 million transfer overhaul this summer, bringing in money from significant sales, which include Bale and Modric amongst those expected to leave. Interesting.
Very interesting.
I'd be eager to hear what you all think of your closing thoughts on Santiago Solari are.
Whose?
Just the you guys.
What did we think of him?
Oh, yeah. Hassan, I'll let you go first.
Well, can I rephrase what I said in the first podcast? I don't know when he got appointed. No, I'm not going to say that because he's going to have to censor me out again. I didn't expect much from the get-go, if I'm honest. When he started turning results around, I said, okay, if he can win something by the end of the season and put in a respect, so say if he won the cup and then put in a respectable showing by, hitting maybe semi-finals of the Champions League and finishing second in the league, I'd say he could have had a debate with Perez to say maybe he should be considered for the job going forward, even though he had a long-term contract. But deep down, I realistically thought he's not going to win much, or if anything at all. Obviously, the derby against Atletico was a high point for him. The performance in the first two Clásicos was good. Obviously, the scoreline deceived that a lot. But the things that I am thankful for him for, obviously, was him bedding in how good Llorente is, how good Reguilón is, how good Vinicius is. Those sort of things I'm thankful to him for. I think his tenure shows much positives outside. No, didn't show much more positives outside of that, sorry. So, yeah, I'd give him a modest 5 out of 10 for his reign.
That was very well-mannered.
Well, my take on it is kind of like Hassan's, I guess, going into it. Once he was appointed, to be fair, I didn't really know much about him to begin with. Chris, I remember you just called him shit in the podcast, and I've always kind of respected your footballing opinion, so I kind of assume that this guy probably isn't that wonderful. Things weren't great with Julian Lopetegui anyway. I kind of felt like this had to be the season where Real Madrid just swallowed the pill of being not so good and just look at what needs to be done to build forward. And I guess I'm someone who's more into looking into the future and trying to improve things rather than dwelling on the present. But then, like Hassan said, at that same token, had we had a better manager, I guess we wouldn't have seen a lot of things that we saw. I mean, Solari's tactics were pretty crap anyway. There was no real rotation of the players. He would keep having squabbles with certain people, specifically Isco, which really...
Not naming anyone.
Yeah, not naming any names. But just finishing the same way Hassan said, like, if it wasn't for him, we wouldn't have seen Vinicius, because how much time did Vinicius keep getting sent back to the Castillo when Lopetegui was a coach? And then Solari was the one who had, the balls to actually just put the kid on the pitch and let him play. I feel like we've seen more of Marcos Llorente. Fede is coming on, Federico Valverde. So, like, I mean, that's another guy I don't think who'd get the opportunity if there was another big manager. So from that point of view, I guess I could say I'm grateful. Overall rating out of 10? 4.
Ooh, okay. Yeah, well, I'm interested to hear people's thoughts. I'm very much the same. I never thought Solari was cut out for top flight management. And on the basis of his time in charge of Madrid, I still don't think he is.
But table club, maybe?
I don't know, honestly. I don't know where he'll end up. He sounds like he's going to end up back at Castillo, which I really, really don't want. But yeah, I think the first three players that said thank you, put out their kind of Twitter posts thanking him as manager was Vinicius, Sergio Reguilón, and Marcos Llorente. So
I think Vasquez put one out as well.
Yeah, and Vasquez as well, which I thought was very, which was interesting.
Because he turned him into an absolutely undisputed starter, so I guess he was very, very happy.
Yeah.
Because Lopetegui definitely wasn't interested in him starting.
No. I have to say, I think his legacy at this club is going to be a lot more far-branching than just a Champions League, the Champions League exit. I think there's players that he's brought into this lineup now that could definitely still be here 10, 15 years time. But more importantly, and I wrote a piece about Solari, should be out soon, is that he's kind of opened our eyes to the fact that, you know, the talent that we call for when things go wrong, it can be found in our own ranks rather than running into a transfer market like a headless chicken.
Cough, Barcelona, cough.
Yeah.
Still can't get past the quarterfinals.
You could make a comparison.
I mean, it's definitely strange how we've changed ethos pretty much. Barcelona got barely any homegrown talent in their squad. As opposed to, we've got quite a lot more in our squad now that was brought up through our ranks than I'd say
You look at those two Clásicos, and I'm going to be honest that, well, firstly, I haven't watched a massive, in comparison to a Barcelona fan, I haven't watched a huge amount of Barcelona this season. And secondly, it's not within my powers to watch them with an unbiased eye. So take everything I say with a pinch of salt. But I thought during those two Clásicos that I was looking at the big players for Barcelona. I was thinking, and the big players for us, I was thinking, our big players during that Clásico are going to get better. Whereas Barcelona's are definitely going to get worse.
Well, their best player was Ivan Rakitic, who's 32 already.
Yeah, and the best players in Clásicos in recent years have been Pique and Messi.
And now both in their 30s as well.
Yeah. Whereas ours was Ronaldo up until you left, but
And now it's Vinicius and Reguilón, who were 20. Yeah. Well, I think Reguilón's 20, 22, 23, younger than that.
I think he's younger. I think he's 21.
Jesus.
I looked it up. Yeah, he is 21. I looked it up, and I think he's He's a month younger than me.
Yeah, no, he is 21. That's a surprise. Oh, he's 20. Well, just turned 22.
No, he's a year and month.
Yeah, 16th of December 96. So he's a year older than me.
Who do you guys think is gonna be Zidane's top I forgot what I was gonna say. Who do you think is Zidane's top target?
Oh, that's
I think he'd have liked Hazard.
He will be Hazard.
Just tell me now.
Chelsea have had the transfer ban though, haven't they? So I don't know how that's gonna impact it.
I imagine they'll get the same treatment that Barcelona did, but they'll be given a window.
They'll appeal it. Yeah. But yeah,
because everyone else is just adamant that no, they're banned and that's it. I mean, I've had so many sort of debates. People on Twitter were like, "Oh yeah, Kovacic is going to have to come back now because Chelsea have got a ban." Well, no, not necessarily. And even if he does, I don't see him sticking around anyway.
It took me a minute to kind of cop that. I was like, "What you?" Because you told me that Barcelona got that appeal, and I was thinking, "What is he talking about?" And then I remembered that Barcelona appealed him.
Yeah, they got given a whole summer window to
I don't know. I know he's an admirer of Hazard, but I'm not sure that's where he'll go for certain. I mean, he seems to be quite set on, he's aware that changes are going to be need to made, but he seems to be quite set on the next 11 games. He's really gave no hints as who he's going to go for. But if you're asking me, right now, heat of the moment, what signing do I think Zidane would make? It'd probably be a Hazard.
Before we close out, what do you guys think is Zidane's biggest pro and con to him as a manager?
That's a tough question
that he has to deal with, or the toughest task that he has ahead of him. And it doesn't have to be in these next 11 weeks. It could even be in the summer transfer window looking into the next season.
It's going to be coherently overhauling a squad. That's no easy task. There's nothing harder in football, I think, than overhauling a squad, quite literally overhauling a squad. The amount of people who turn around to you and say, no, they don't need overhauling, they do. you know, you've got so many stars who are one in their 30s, you need to start looking at who's going to take over from them next, because Ramos has got probably a couple of years tops left in him. Marcelo's, whether this season was just an anomaly because he got hurt a lot or he actually has declined, he's also in his 30s. Modric is in his deep into his 30s, near enough. Benzema, although he's been running around like a spring chicken for most of this season, is in his 30s. And we've got no logical, besides Marcelo, we've got, and Modric to a degree, we've got no logical replacement for Benzema, no logical replacement for Ramos. We've got no logical replacements on the right wing that's really sticking out to me right now. So, yeah, I think that's the biggest challenge for them.
Yeah, I agree. I think having difficult conversations with players entering the wrong side of 30, and just even just making the right signings in that summer transfer window is just, you know, the summer, these transfer windows are turning into real slogs for Madrid. They're just so difficult. It really is difficult to compete with some of the, you know, when teams are backed by entire nations.
Literal states.
literal royal families. But yeah, I would agree. And I think probably his biggest pro is the fact that he is unlike any that we have had, in the sense of how well he knows this club. So, you know, if anyone can figure it out, perhaps he can.
Well, I think that's it. Zidane's back, so I'm pretty happy. I don't know. I hope you guys are happy. And yeah, any closing remarks?
Let me think.
Looking forward to the 14th next May. I'm looking forward to that 14th Champions League next May. Can't wait for Vasquez to score the winning goal. It's going to be great.
Oh, yeah, totally. How old will he be? 29, right?
Something like that, yeah. I mean, he could go to his 40s. He could play to his 40s easily.
Is he nearly 30? What on earth, man?
He's still a promising youngster in my eyes.
he's forever been 25 in my eyes.
Well, it's because he just looks so young.
What age is Casemiro?
Oh, he's 27. Like,
we cannot close this podcast just yet. Sorry. Casemiro got a red card.
We mentioned this yesterday. For all the things, he's had 76 bookings since joining top flight football.
Yeah.
All the shit he's done, literally rock bottom, stone cold, stunned, RKO'd, all the wonderful wrestling moves.
Sent off standing in front of a free kick.
All those things. And he literally got sent off for literally, as you said, standing in front of a free kick.
Actually, I don't think I could see any other way that Casemiro would get sent off.
That streak of shithousery was so anticlimactic with its ending.
It was a shithouse ending.
It was a shithouse ending, but I just wanted something more spectacular, like, I don't know, he spent too long tying his shoe or something. No, not even that. He threw his shoe at somebody, Arda Turan style, I don't know, just something like that.
Threw his shoe at someone, that would be a good one.
But no, because he didn't want to stand back from a free kick.
No. Yeah, okay.
Did the player not turn around to him and go, yards, like, you know, you do at school when you were trying to take a penalty or a free kick, and you're like, yeah, yards, mate, come on.
I think that's why we hired Zidane back. Perez saw Casemiro getting sent off, and he's like, okay, I need to get the black magic back.
He needs to be
attacking midfielder again.
Yeah. Whoop. Looking forward to that next season.
Casemiro number 10. Oh, well. It's an interesting future ahead, that's for sure.
It's going to be a good one. I'm happy. I feel like
it's going to be either great or it's going to be an absolute disaster. That's how it's going to go. It's going to go one way or the other. I don't think there's going to be any intermediates here.
I think we said that about Lopetegui last season.
We did. We said that it's either going to go really well or really badly.
And where did it go?
really, really badly.
Such is the life. Such is the life.
I mean, I guess we could be like Chelsea fans or something.
No, what the hell's wrong with you? Why would you want to do that to yourself?
Saying, like, God forbid we were Chelsea fans. It would be even more depressing. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, well, what's the worst about being a Chelsea fan right now? Elaborate.
Like, everything?
Well, they lost 6-0 to Man City.
I mean, yeah, that was pretty bad. 3-0 Man City, 17 minutes.
Yeah, they're supposed to be competing for the title with them. And they might not qualify for Champions League either.
Actually, no, I've thought of a worse one. Could be worse. Could be PSG fans.
Oh, yeah. That was pretty disastrous.
That's definitely worse. That's definitely worse. So, now I've just read, apparently, Kylian Mbappe's dad's been in regular contact with Real Madrid for the last few months.
Oh, baby, here we go.
Here we go, boys.
Here we go.
Get ready. Get ready. He's coming.
KM7. Some of the best deals in Ireland's history have come from people knowing someone else's father, so...
I know your dad. It's going to happen. What's kind of underwhelming is his dad's called Wilfred.
Mbappe.
Just doesn't sound very good, does it? Kylian Mbappe sounds like a killer name.
Yeah, this is another podcast in itself, but I've always been a strong believer in the idea that you have to have a good name to be famous.
Yeah, no.
A brandable name to be famous.
Like LeBron James, it strikes straight away.
Yeah, mine has too many syllables to ever be famous, but...
Like Edward Jones, you're just like, yeah, he's going nowhere.
Yeah.
CR7.
Cristiano Ronaldo, it's a name, it screams out to you, whereas Ricardo Quaresma, so how is that bum? See what I mean?
I hear you.
Mushtaq doesn't have that... I'm kidding.
Yeah, sure, whatever. Zidane Minion is back. I'm back, okay?
Sick, mate. Mad ting.
Oh my god, don't say that. Okay. I think we're good. Are we good? Because, like, now that we're just making fun of me, I think we're definitely good.
No, I think we could do another good 20 minutes of just ripping the shit out of you.
No, I think... What?
You have to censor that as well, because I said S-H-I-T.
No.
Actually, no, you said it earlier, so we'll see if you censor yourself.
No, shit's not a bad word.
Is it not a bad word? So you'd say that in a job interview, would you?
Yeah, of course.
So you literally go in there, hand in your resume, and be like, I am the shit.
Well, I don't hand in my resume at a job interview because they already have a copy of my resume themselves.
Okay, we'll rephrase it. You walk into the interview, sit down, and you'll be like, I hope you checked up my resume because I am the shit.
No, why would I say that? They've already checked the resume. That's why I'm in the interview. Like, so I'm going to say, I hope you've checked the resume. Giggles.
We're really stagnating here.
Yeah, this is not even stagnation. This is just like a steep decline. This is basically Solari. And on that note, we're going to end the podcast there. Thank you guys so much, Christopher. Thanks for coming back. I hope you come back again to do another pod. I really
attack his DMs. Get in his DMs. Tell him to come back.
Yeah.
Zidane come back, you can come back.
Exactly. If you liked having Christopher on this podcast, let us know on Twitter and go bug him and tell him that he should come back like once a week.
Or you could do what you guys normally do and call him a geek. That's pretty common.
Yeah. Hey.
Was it a nerd? It's one of the two. You get called a geek or a nerd. I've seen it come up a few times.
It's all yeah, no, people bully me on a regular basis. It's not fun.
Hashtag pray for Chris.
Appreciate it, Trent.
We will do another podcast, and actually, we're going to drop a couple more in the next 2 days. So,
these people,
what?
Aren't these people lucky to get to hear my wonderful voice?
Oh my god, shut up! Have a great rest of your day, guys, and as always, Hala Madrid.